You're on the journey home. Great to have you along with us today, and our focus is on health. Today, now, we're expanding out a little bit further to embrace not only women's health, but men's health as well. Our guest in the studio is Doctor of Oriental Medicine and homeopathist, Dr. Celeste Skardas. She's a locally based practitioner in Santa Fe. And, you know, in Europe, some pharmacies have two entrances and two departments, one for allopathic drugs and the other for homeopathic medicines. A majority of French MDs prescribe homeopathic medicines to their patients, as do a large number of German and Dutch doctors as well. Homeopathy is also a part of the national health care system in Great Britain. 10 million people take homeopathic medicines daily. 40% of French people take homeopathic medicine. 25% of the Germans take it. And with its non-toxic effects, these established international medicines should be considered in many patients' care. To fill us in on a little bit more about it is Dr. Celeste Skardas, who joins us today live in our studios. Dr. Skardas, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Diego. It's a pleasure to be here.
A little brief on your medical background so Our listeners know who you are.
Okay. I'm licensed as a physician in New Mexico, and that's as a doctor of oriental medicine. And I have the expanded practice, so I can do more than the usual doctor of oriental medicine. Mm-hmm. So there's some prescriptive authority for bioidentical hormones, as I just heard on the mm-hmm. previous
interview,
yes. And also, I'm so glad to be talking today about homeopathy, because that's one of the very earliest things that I started out with in medicine, and a way to help people.
Uh-huh. Well, I have to begin by mentioning that I wanted to talk to you as a homeopathist, because I had one of those homeopathic miracles happen to me personally.
All right.
Many years ago, and I've never forgotten it, and I know that it seems to be helping my baby boy quite a bit too, with you know, stuff like eczema and that sort of thing too. But I'll set the scene really quickly for you. I am an organizer of a large outdoor music and cultural festival in the east of England at the Eye of the Dragon, and that's where the ley line begins that goes all the way across to Canterbury and all that kind of stuff. And I arrive on festival day at the festival site with the worst case of the flu that I've ever had in my life, and it was going to be, you know, just horrible for me to try to get through the day. My friend Loretta gave me a little couple of homeopathic tablets. I'd never seen these things before. I had no idea what they were. She says, just put these under your tongue, let them melt in your mouth, and come back in 20 minutes and tell me how you feel.
Wonderful.
I came back in 20 minutes, and I didn't have any symptoms whatsoever. And I went from full-blown fever, shivers, cold, oh, it was awful, to where did it all go? And I can only call that a miracle. I had no idea that this stuff was that powerful. But anyway, how does homeopathy work? What is it that makes this potentially so effective? Not necessarily all the time, mm-hmm. but sometimes, you know, it can be amazing.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad you had that magical experience, because that's what really helps people to understand how it works. You have that personal experience. So homeopathy means different things to different people and different definitions. Homey, as we know, can be the guys in the hood. Homey, you're in the neighborhood, right? So it's an easy way to remember it. And so homeopathy, pathy, means pathology. So homey is the same pathology. So basically, what the founder of homeopathy did, Samuel Hahnemann, around the time of the Revolutionary War, he was practicing MD, and he saw that the medicines that were present at that time were hurting people much more than helping. And he was a very compassionate person, and he used smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller doses mm-hmm. of the different remedies. So and then he saw it still worked. It still worked. They got smaller and smaller. And so there's a whole progression of actually how homeopathic medicines are created and are made. And the basic thing is that the same pathology, like whatever would cause the problem in a mm-hmm. full dose, would in the homeopathic dose would relieve it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic principle. And then there's other various and sundry mm-hmm. permutations on that also.
Right. So is it correct that the more that the dose has been reduced, that the more powerful that the healing effect can be?
Exactly. And that's the phrase, less is more. Couldn't be truer with uh-huh. homeopathy. Exactly.
Uh-huh. And at some point with a very high dose, are you basically at the point where there is only the vibration of the molecule left in the medicine and not even perhaps any actual molecule of any particular healing substance? Does it go that deep?
You've got it exactly, Diego. That's right. And that's what Western medicine, unfortunately, misses and says, well, there's nothing there. This is quackery. And that's just not true, because we see it work with children. We see it work with animals. And we just see it work in ourselves again and again. It's been around for over 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some stories about how that worked through history, if mm-hmm. you'd like to hear
yeah.
those.
Well, that was a fascinating story that you just introduced about the doctor who founded it at the beginning or during the Revolutionary War. How else has it played out in history? What about the big cholera epidemic that was spreading throughout Europe? When was that? Back in the 18 or 17?
I don't have the exact date, but that's one of the ways that Hahnemann really helped people by when they came. It was in France. He prevented cholera from entering into France by putting these barrels of homeopathic remedy. I think it was copper, homeopathic cuprum met. Mm-hmm. And he would have people take that, and it never really became anything of an issue in France, where it was widespread around Europe.
Uh-huh. Well, that's pretty amazing. What other cases has homeopathy played a crucial role?
Mm-hmm. Well, during the Civil War, there still was people in the United States still knew about homeopathic medicines. And allopathic medicine was just trying to get its roots started there, and there would be two tents that the soldiers could go to. Mm-hmm. One was the homeopathic tent, where they could get better, and one was the allopathic tent. And most all the time, they chose the homeopathic tent because they actually got better there.
Mm-hmm.
And it smelled better. Everything was just, there wasn't rotting flesh, because the homeopathic remedies would take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take care of the soldiers' emotional states.
It's a fascinating subject, this homeopathy business, Celeste, because we're seeing a lot of different reiterations of this today with some of these rub-on remedies and all kinds of different things that are starting to make their way into the modern medicine vernacular again. Why do you suppose there is a resurgence in homeopathy these days?
Well, I'd only be guessing. I haven't read any studies in particular. But homeopathy is very inexpensive. And it's very easy to use, and there's no side effects. If you don't have the right remedy, it just doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
So
those are big things, because so many deaths, I think it ranges in the hundreds of thousands a year, are from something that's called iatrogenic.
Yes.
Which is death caused by going to the hospital and being treated.
Yes, physician error.
And the rest of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me that they actually have a word for it, and it's totally acceptable in Western medicine.
But it's hundreds of thousands of people die every year in this country.
A jumbo jet a day. That's one of the statistics. Yeah.
And I don't mean to be pointing fingers at doctors, because I haven't met a doctor yet who isn't there because he really is compassionate,
exactly.
Or she is compassionate. They care about people.
Yes.
But the whole thing has gotten so complex, and there's so many things going on out there, it's hard to keep track of it all. So homeopathy seems to be, on one level, rather simple, because like you say, if it's the wrong medicine, then it doesn't have any effect whatsoever. It just doesn't work. But the question then comes down to is how do you find the right
yes.
remedy when there's a wide range of possibilities? Because
yes.
as a former roof repairman, I can tell you that where the drip is coming through the ceiling doesn't necessarily mean that's where the hole in the roof is.
I like that.
And the same with a disease. The symptoms may not be always indicative of the underlying cause.
Yes, yes.
So tell us how you track down, the right remedy.
Okay. So there can be different categories that make it easier to figure that out. And one of the easiest ways is to look at first aid remedies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many wonderful books that you can go to the health food store and just choose one that's very simple. I'm sure many of our listeners have heard of arnica.
Sure.
So you fell and, did you put that arnica on there? Or there's also different companies that combine arnica and other remedies. And Tramiel, maybe people have heard of that.
Mm-hmm. I use it just about every day.
Well, all right. And so then those are simple lists. Like if you have a cut, use calendula. If you have a fever, you could use belladonna or aconite, and there's various choices. If you have a dry cough, you use a certain remedy,
mm-hmm.
and it can become, oh my goodness, how can I ever possibly remember all those remedies? That's why I urge people, use the reference books. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Learn them, and it's just so great. Our family first found out about it because our daughter was vaccinated, and it didn't go well. And we were just, oh, no, what do we do? This is bad. And that's when we found out about homeopathy.
Really?
Yes.
So it was a personal health
yes.
crisis in the
yes.
family.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that is
40 years. Oh, I'm telling your age. I'm sorry.
All right, it doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, as a practicing physician, I think people want someone who's experienced
yes.
and older.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
That's a benefit.
It's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I just saying
so
how old my daughter was.
That's all.
Okay. Hi. It's okay. All right. So that's a real great way because then you see, okay, and there's different numbers people are probably familiar with, like a 6X or a 6C,
mm-hmm.
and then that's dilution. X would refer to 10, C would refer to 100, and there's usually the kind that you buy in the store, they would only go up to 30C or 30X. So you're not going to get in trouble with any of those. And,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, the lower remedies that are like a 6X,
mm-hmm.
then don't use those too much because actually what can happen is you can start to make the symptoms worse. I know I said there's no side effects,
mm-hmm.
but you can't just keep pounding away at something and there's no change. You'll see a change very soon. Like you watch subtle differences in the person's face or in their how they relax or like that, then you can see, oh, it's working. And then some people will take it and, no, that's not the right remedy, and you have to find another one. It just didn't work.
Uh-huh. Well, this is very empowering, too, because many Americans are without health care. There's about 50 million of us like that. And to have a whole range of possibilities, sort of like a pharmacopoeia of remedies, that you know are first of all following the fundamental premise of first do no harm.
Yes.
And have the potential for doing an awful lot of good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is a very empowering place to be, especially since they are relatively inexpensive. I mean, you got to build yourself up a library, but of them, I guess, so you have the right remedy. But can they get contaminated by touching your skin on the way into your mouth? I mean, is there a specific – I mean, I know there's sort of like a little ritual that you do where you try not to touch the actual tablet itself because they're so sensitive, I suppose. But what's behind that and what's the best way to actually take these remedies?
Uh-huh. There's many ways to dose to receive the remedies. People are often familiar with the small white lactose pellets where the remedy's been it's been soaked in the remedy,
mm-hmm.
and there's so many you find any practitioner and they'll have a different way of how to do it, and oh no, don't do that, do this. It's homeopathy is really quite strong. It's very hard to
to render it ineffective.
Yes,
it's
yes.
forgiving too.
Yes, yes. And if you did that, then you can just take another one, and it can work like that. And there's when it's in water, like I dispense in a little amber bottle in water. I put the pellet in that, and then it's called succuss. I hit the bottle on the palm of the hand, and then there's a dropper in there. So I say, don't put the dropper right by your mouth. You want to get it in your mouth, but not right where you're breathing on it, because I don't put preservative in there.
So, okay.
It's real simple.
It sounds real simple. when it comes to knowing when to seek help through a homeopathic remedy and when to seek a different form of allopathic medicine, mm-hmm. say surgery or something else, where do you draw the line? How do you know when to try the standard or the allopathic versus the alternative?
Well, you could do both. And then you could see what works. I mean, say ear infections, for example. There's been many studies, actually, that show that antibiotics are not effective for ear infections, and homeopathy actually is. So say you've gone the route of Western medicine and the antibiotics, still the ear infections aren't clearing up. Well, give homeopathy a try. Find a practitioner who knows, who has some experience in that. And there's some great books. I think I brought one for my audiovisual aid, but
it's down there in the suitcase
down
someplace.
There.
In the last few remaining seconds that we have, when it comes to treating something as systemic as perhaps a cancer, is there a strategy using homeopathy that can either reduce the side effects or can help the body detoxify to the point where perhaps the cancer isn't is apt to grow and metastasize? Can it help?
That's a great question, and it brings out what the nature of homeopathy is, because homeopathy treats the person and not the disease. It's like, how does it work? There's nothing in there. Well, for example, if you go into a museum and you see a lovely painting that just moves you, you didn't put anything in your mouth at all, and your whole chemical system changed. And there is something actually in the homeopathy. They actually created machines, and it is in there, and it's like...
It's been tested and studied, and there's something
they
there.
They have some of those
vibrations
machines.
Are there.
Yes, and you know the man Masaru Emoto?
Yes.
Who does the he
water
shows
purification?
And the water crystals. That's another way that basically homeopathy has an affinity to water. And the water replicates and learns about that remedy, so it becomes the remedy.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming in today. How do people get in touch with you here in Santa Fe, Dr. Skardas?
You could go to our website, www.nfornew.mformexico.pforpainmformanagement.com.
So all together, that spells out?
www.nmpm.com.
All right. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Celeste Skardas.
My pleasure.